Bible for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. We're talking about a very serious subject, I believe, one that's applicable to each and every one of us if we just understand biblical doctrinal theological truths that's found in the Scripture. We're asking the question, what is divine intervention? That's become a very, very well-known term today because of President Donald J. Trump. And those moments in Butler, Pennsylvania, when the bullet whizzed by, had Donald Trump not turned his head just a fraction, that bullet would have gone through his brain. He wouldn't be here today. What happened? Why did that not go through his brain? What guided that bullet? What was the purpose? Why is Donald Trump preserved? Donald Trump says it's the grace of God. He says it's God's divine intervention. And I believe that to be true. Dr. Phelps is with me today, Dr. Neil Phelps, a Bible professor and theological teacher and professor in the college and the university, Conservative Theological University. In fact, Dr. Phelps will be teaching a course this fall, beginning in September. Dr. Phelps, tell us about the course that you'll be teaching and why it is important for listeners to understand some of the matter in that subject.
Lord willing, I will be teaching a course on the poetic books of the Bible. And that includes Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And we believe that this is so vital that we would recommend that everyone who is enrolled in our university, please try to get this course in any possible way you can, either online or in class. The Psalms and Proverbs are one of the valuable heritages that we have as Christians. It's a wonderful heritage filled with wisdom, instruction for all of us. We can apply many of the things that we have in those books to our lives. We're so thankful for the Psalms, for the Psalms tell us how to think, how to pray, how to view our God, how to walk before God. They're so valuable that without them, I believe we will always be deficient in our understanding of the will of God and the truth of God. We believe that all the Scriptures are truth, Amen. God-given truth. And so we believe that it's so important for us to study these books of the Bible, and we intend to spend some time in the classroom talking about the greatness of our God, the goodness of God, and the promises of God that are found, even the messianic promises contained in the Scriptures.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, if you'd like to leave your information for someone to get back with you and see how you can pick up on the information and joining in the classroom studies on the subject that Dr. Phelps will be teaching, you can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's been the contact telephone number for Conservative Theological University for almost 40 years now. And we're certainly thankful that we've had the privilege of impacting lives for eternity, and those in particular that stand in pulpits and classrooms preaching and teaching the Word of God. If you're involved as a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or a pastor or associate pastor, or if you are involved in any fashion as a Christian, just witnessing and sharing and want to know more about the Word of God, we invite you to enroll with us. And by the way, just a little thought that you might want to use as, if you want to call it, a rationale for getting involved. If you get involved, enroll for the full semester, either in class or online, your first course will be no cost. You'll still pay for your textbooks. You'll pay for your enrollment fees, but your first course will be tuition free for that first course that you take. We do that to see if there's some way that we could get you involved in the study of the Word of God and to have the training that God would have you to have. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject: what is divine intervention? Dr. Phelps, I'm thankful that you're here, and you touched on that about Joseph a moment ago. In fact, the study of Joseph begins in Genesis, the 37th chapter, goes through about chapter 45 about Joseph, a fantastic study. And as Dr. Phelps mentioned a moment ago, he was sold by his brothers, he's cast into the pit, and from the pit he went to become a slave in Egypt. And as a slave in Egypt, he was falsely accused, he was thrown into prison, 13 years in prison, and out of prison then he interpreted a dream that the king had that no one could interpret. As a result of that, he was promoted to the prime minister of Egypt. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a phrase, and Dr. Phelps, you can pick up on this and share with us your thoughts. There's a phrase in chapter 37, 38, 39, 40, right on through chapter 45, and that phrase is a continuing phrase about Joseph, and the Lord was with him. When he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, the scripture says, and the Lord was with him. When he was sold into slavery to the Egyptians, the scripture says, and the Lord was with him. When he was falsely accused and thrown into prison, the scripture says, and the Lord was with him. When he was promoted to the prime minister to deliver the nation of Egypt because of the famine, the scripture says, and the Lord was with him. So Dr. Phelps, with that resounding phrase, and the Lord was with him, how does that connect with the thought today and with the phrase and the statement from Donald Trump, it's by the grace of God that his life was spared, and it's by the providence of God that he is living today? Delve into that with what we see in the life of Joseph and what happened, and the scripture saying that the Lord was with him.
Also, one of the things I remember was that the Lord gave him favor with the jailer, those in charge of the jail where he was imprisoned. Same was true of Daniel, that God gave Daniel and the three Hebrew children favor with those who were in charge of that penal institution or whatever they had in Babylon. And so God was with them in the sense that he had something for them to do. Mm-hmm. God has a plan, and God plans sometimes included common people, special people. And I believe that Joseph was a very special person in God's plan and purpose. God used him mightily and to the saving of the household of Israel. Mm-hmm. God was preserving a people, and God was going to redeem them, bring them out of the land of Egypt. And God was going to make of them a great nation, give them the promised land, and they were to be God's witnesses, God's special everlasting nation.
Yes. And Dr. Phelps, if I can jump in for just a moment, God was going to do that. That's in God's sovereign overall plan, but back and back and back before the end results, God had selected, God had chosen, God had predetermined that Joseph would be the man that God would use. And so, as I understand the scripture, God allowed Joseph to go into the abyss, if you will, the pit, and then was sold into slavery, and then was thrown into prison, and then was elevated to the prime minister. And all of those were the stages and steps of God using Joseph, molding him, making him, refining him to be used as the deliverer for the nation of Israel, for the Israeli people. Is that, am I understanding that correct?
That's my understanding also. God many times will train us in one manner or another for the work that we have to do. And God oversees those circumstances that surround the lives of his people, just as he did with Joseph. We believe that was true of Daniel also, and it's possible that's true in the case of Donald Trump. God has been preparing him for a great work that he will do. And we need to be prayerful for God's will to be accomplished.
Yes, yes. So, Dr. Phelps, it leads me to another question. If God is God, and he is, and if God's the creator, controller of the universe, and he is, if God is still minding the affairs of man, and he is, does that negate or in any way circumvent or nullify the free will of man? Speak to that for just a moment.
Now, we believe that God is over all. God is sovereign. But God does not overrule the will of man in matters of choosing what we do in life. God allows us to choose, and we must recognize that that is so in each of our lives today. The truth is that when men exercise their will as opposed to the revealed will of God, then they always suffer the consequences. But when we operate in the will of God and we seek to know what God would have us to do, we find that we also reap the wonderful and good consequences from that. It is so that that was true in the life of Abraham and Lot. Remember in Genesis chapter 13 that Lot chose for himself to live in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And he chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and kept going toward Sodom. But Abraham chose to let the Lord instruct him in the direction and in the way that he should go. And according to Genesis chapter 13, Abraham then followed the Lord. I want to read a few verses about that event. In Genesis and chapter 13, verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." That's, by the way, that's one of the promises to Abraham, to let us know who owns the promised land.
That's right.
And God says also in Genesis 14, verse 16, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebrew, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And we find that that was one of the things that characterized the life of Abraham. Wherever he went, then he always managed to have a time of worship of God and seeking for his direction in his life.
Amen.
Abraham was truly blessed. And we believe that when we will seek the Lord and his will for our lives, we will see that we can be a blessing to others, and we will benefit personally and know the blessings of God.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, as you're speaking, it brings to my mind a question that perhaps many that's listening today have asked. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What questions do you have in relationship to the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, the grace of God? How does that play into the life of each of us today? And especially we're talking about Donald J. Trump today, because he said it's by God's grace that he's here today. That means that he's alive. And it's the providence of God that prevented him from getting slaughtered by the assassin's bullet on July the 13th, that Saturday, and I believe it was exactly at 5:11 p.m. in the afternoon in Butler, Pennsylvania. So, Dr. Phelps, I've got a question that I think would be valid at this point. If God is sovereign, and he is, if God is in his providence watching over us, if God is on the throne controlling all of the universe, and if God has allowed man to have a volitional choice, and he has, that we make choices and decisions, there's a question that multitudes of people have asked down through the corridors of time: why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, with that, we need to understand what is happening with President Trump, the bad things. He's gone through five or six major lawsuits. He had already gone through two impeachment attempts. He has gone through multiple opportunities for the devil to destroy him and take his future as a president. So why have all of those things happened to Donald J. Trump? How will God use those things? And in your opinion, biblically speaking, why have they taken place?
Briefly, I would just like to state that it's very possible that God wants people to see the predicament that they're in, the situation, so that he will get all of the glory.
Amen.
He will get all of the honor.
I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over to your questions or comments, please.
Your brother on the radio program, Dr. Youngblood, just said what I was going to say, that God put in my spirit, le Elohim hakavod, which in Hebrew means to God be the glory. And Amen. It's all his glory. He saved Trump. And brother, I just want to make this comment. I thank everybody out there that's been praying for this nation. Continue to pray for this nation. Thank you, brother. Brother Dr. Youngblood, for your radio program. I thank everybody that's interceded, that prayed. But to God be the glory, because he has the power to deliver our country from the assassin. And, brother, I know you don't believe in the Bible codes, but it said the shooter's name. I confirmed it with the code searcher, Jonathan Wright, on YouTube. It confirmed it that the code searcher's name, Matthew Crooks, is in there, along with BlackRock. And we know that BlackRock is a government agency. So these things are in the Bible codes, brother. And I was going to mention it the last time I called in, but I didn't. But to God be the glory is what he put in my spirit. And the Spirit of God was telling me that. But when Trump dodged that bullet, brother, did the United States of America dodge the bullet from the judgment that's to come? That's my
Absolutely.
Question.
Kevin, I believe that you're exactly right. I believe God's providence is at work. I believe it is seeing the hand of God at work. Only God could have delivered Donald J. Trump and allowed him to be alive today. And it has, I believe, changed Donald Trump's life. It has changed his perspective on life. It has caused Donald Trump to have a greater faith in God, a greater dependence on God, and a greater determination to lead America as God would have him to do so. So I think it has indelibly changed his life, just as in any of our lives, God allows us to go through horrible issues, horrible things, bad things happening to good people, so that we will be refined and molded, and as Dr. Phelps said a moment ago, cause us to have a greater dependence upon him, a greater recognition that it's God and not man that's on the throne. Kevin, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, we have a lot of conversation today from governmental agencies, and especially the socialist Marxist media and those that believe in global warming and climate change, etc. But Dr. Phelps, in Matthew 5:45, we find that it is God and not global warming. It's God and not climate change that is in control of the weather. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse, the scripture tells us that there will be seasons and seasons changes until the end of the world. Why is that so? Because God is sovereign. God is in control. God is in control of where it rains, when it rains, and what happens. Dr. Phelps, does God or his providence make man just a puppet, a robot, or is it possible that we see that God... Dr. Phelps, look at for a moment, look at Psalms 103 and read verse 19 and tell us your insight on that. Psalms 103, verse 19.
We believe that God has control over all things. God does not relinquish his right to be in control. Also, regarding what you said a moment ago, I wanted to comment that so many people are looking to Mother Nature, mm-hmm. when they should be looking to Father God.
Amen.
The Creator.
That's good.
In Psalm 103, and give me that verse
again. Verse 19.
Verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, his ministers of hills that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
I'm seeing in those verses, in particular in that 19th verse, the God is saying, I am ruler over all the world. All the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of kings and princes and man. Psalm 146, verse 3 says that we're not to put our faith and our trust in princes or in man, but in God. And I believe that's what God is showing us through what has taken place in the current events with Donald Trump and his coming within a fraction of an inch of losing his life. Dr. Phelps, when we look at God's sovereignty, when we think on God's providence, what does the word providence connote?
It means that it's from God that we're to look to him in our need. God is the provider. I would recommend for each of us that we acknowledge the providence of God every day. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for being my provider.
Yes.
And God is able to provide in every way, every aspect of our lives.
Dr. Phelps, some believe that the world is governed by fate or chance. How would you counter that belief?
There is no such thing as chance when it comes to the people of God. Mm-hmm. We believe that God can control our lives, and God can direct our lives, and God does. I've looked at my life, for example, many times and wonder why things did happen as they did, and why many times in my disobedience that God permitted me to go on in my way. But it's because God wants us to choose his way, and God wants us to realize that his way is best, and his way is good, his way is right, his way is in truth. And we are to not walk in darkness, but to walk in the light of the revealed Word of God and know that God is in control.
Amen. He's in control. In fact, when you said that, Dr. Phelps, it reminded me of Numbers chapter 22. In Numbers 22, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zipporah, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And it goes on in that text, Dr. Phelps, of talking about Balaam, being asked, Balak asking Balaam to curse Israel. Tell us that story and how that fits into the providence of God.
Well, the king of Moab wanted this false prophet to curse Israel, mm-hmm. and to cause them to have trouble. And when God intervened, then this false prophet could only do what God told him to do, and that was to bless Israel. Mm-hmm. When God intervened and changed it, just sort of turned it around.
The opposite. In fact, in 22, verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And it goes on, and it's a fascinating story, goes on where there was still an attempt by Balak or Balaam to curse the children of Israel. God had said don't. He was on his donkey trying to do that, and the donkey stopped and wouldn't let him go any further. And God spoke through the donkey and controlled the affairs of man through by way of speaking through a donkey, that man didn't seem to have sense enough to know that God was at work. I'm always fascinated by that story, but the point being that God intervenes in the life and the work of man. God is sovereignly in control, and it's through God's providence, that is his will being carried out, that God allows man to make decisions, but God is still sovereign and supernaturally controlling and bringing about, because, as you said earlier, God operates from the past, present, the future. He sees that totally. Man is seeing just a little microscopic step by step. In fact, in Psalm 66, verse 7, the scripture tells us that God rules over nations. In Galatians 1:15, the scripture says God directs human destiny. In Psalms 4:8, it says that it is God that protects his people. So through the divine providence, through the intervention of the affairs of man, that God accomplishes his will. So I believe, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at today's subject based on what we've seen and heard in relationship to President Trump, now recognizing the providence of God, recognizing the grace of God, recognizing that it's through God that sustained his life. So the point that I want us to recognize today, Dr. Phelps, is that just as you talked about the life of Joseph, where Joseph was sold into slavery, he was cast into the pit, he was sold to the Midianites, which sold him into slavery in Egypt. But the end result was all that Joseph had gone through was for the end purpose of God using his life for God's sovereign purpose and God's providential purpose in delivering the children of Israel. Now, if you'd like to add a footnote to that, we've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. Wrap up our thoughts with a challenge to our listeners to surrender and allow God to be Lord and Master in their lives.
There's a verse that I have found in Psalm 56 and verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. That verse says a lot to me. It tells us that we need to depend upon the Lord. We need to rely upon the Lord and in prayer speak to God in terms of that verse.
Amen.
And rely upon him to commit to God everything in our lives and in our country.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Phelps, for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. And let's face